I mentioned Kathy a moment ago, by the way. She is she's out of town this morning. She's helping a friend out, in case you're wondering where she is. And yeah. Well, we've arrived at the book of Acts. We've arrived at chapter 2. Let's all turn to Acts chapter 2. The ushers want to make sure that you have a Bible to study with. If you need one, they've walked down the aisle to pass one over to you. Just raise your hand, and we count it a privilege to give you one. And that's yours to keep if you need it. And for all of us, let's go to Acts chapter 2 as we continue our journey here through this awesome, awesome book. God is faithful, and I pray He'll help me concentrate and share exactly what He wants, no more, no less. As we turn to chapter 2, we're reminded of the fact that, of course, at this point, the day of Pentecost had come. We learned back in chapter 1 that they were told to wait. That yes, they're going to go out and spread the gospel. They're going to go out into the uttermost ends of the world and let the word go out, the gospel go out, but they were told to wait. For it was told us that there was a day coming, the day of the promise of the Father, it was addressed in chapter 1. Jesus told them, you wait until you receive what He called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 1, it speaks of it as the time in which, and Jesus says this, He told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Well, that time had arrived when we come to chapter 2. Let's read it, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 4, of course, is the turning point. The empowering point, if you would, look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God said it would happen. This is what it happens. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This verse and what it brings up is not without controversy, of course. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, this utterance in tongues, I know stirs many thoughts in people. But if we'll stick to Scripture, we're going to see that there's no need for confusion or fear when it comes to this awesome work of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it's just the opposite. I pray this morning that there would be a receiving and a rejoicing in what we're going to be looking at. For this truly is God's plan for them and for us. So, buckle your seatbelts, but it's awesome, important stuff. I've called our time together this morning based on a portion of verse 4 and based on our focus for this morning. I've called our time to speak with other tongues. Let's pray. Oh, before we pray, let me mention this too. Boy, I'm all over the place this morning. I'd be remiss not to mention, of course, that this is Memorial Day weekend, and there are many who have gone before us, and indeed, I know we've known people who gave their lives in the service of the country. Perhaps you do. But certainly, whether you directly have a family member or friend or somebody who's done that, we all are aware of the fact that freedom isn't free. And it was purchased at a great price. And Memorial Day weekend, among other things, among the picnics and everything else that go on, there should be some time to remember. To remember the price paid and the freedoms we enjoy. So as I go to prayer to pray for our time, I'm going to invite you to just take a moment of silence. Please don't pray out loud. But take a moment of silence, and whatever you might choose to do, just think about. And if you choose to, lift up to family, friends, relatives who've lost those, and thank God for our freedoms. So I'm going to we're going to have a moment of silence, and then I'll say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pause to do just that. For you've blessed us and you've blessed our nation, and we want to give you thanks. And we do stuff just to remember that indeed we think of, we're drawn to think about for a moment, just those who've gone before and have paid that ultimate sacrifice for us. And so, Lord, for family members and friends who are hurting, who've lost loved ones, we pray you comfort them. And we just want to say thank you for the blessings upon our nation, Lord. And we pray for our nation. And Lord, I just thank you that you sent your Son to pay the ultimate price for the spiritual freedom that you've given us. And now, Lord, thank you as we come to this time that there's something you want to say to us. Thank you as we talked about a moment ago, Lord. We all go through things and all of us face trials and all, but you are faithful and you are work, and this morning is part of that work. So Lord, let there be comforting and ministry or whatever you want to do in this time. But help us not to come short of all you would have. So we give you us in this time. Pray you move within us and amongst us, and may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is my goal this morning that simply we'd be encouraged to consider, indeed, that the Lord perhaps would stir our hearts to desire all that he has for us. That we'd shed preconceived notions and just be open for all that he has for us. When the women at the retreat last weekend, for the guys that were here, I kind of challenged you that if we're going to be the leaders we're called to be as men and husbands and dads and all, that we need to also be open to this power and these gifts that all God would have. But it's for both genders, of course. We're about to read it for both sides of this, but let's just keep that focus. What does Scripture say, and why is God saying it, and are we coming short in any area perhaps? So let's take a look at this. Now, we've read the Scriptures leading up to this, but I also want to read some following verses to set the context. Holy Spirit falls, they begin to utter these tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. That makes sense because it's the Feast of Pentecost, and they are called to be there at this time. So Jerusalem would have been full of people. And when this sound occurred, we don't know if that's the sound of the rushing wind, the tongues being spoken, whatever, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome." You don't have to applaud that I made it through all those names. "Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day," that's 9 a.m. in their timekeeping, "but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And at that point, he sets before them the very prophecy that God had indeed said he would pour out his Spirit. And so Peter points to that. The idea being is this has been planned by God, purposed by God, and now it's happening in fulfillment of prophecy, of God's plan. All of this is of God. And always settle it, God is good. And if he has something for us, it's for our good. No matter what man has done to things and distorted things, what God has is good. So don't put God in a box. Be open to what God would have for us in all of this. This morning, having set the stage of reading before and after those verses, we're going to go back to verse 4. Because this morning, I believe we're called to consider this awesome gift that accompanies the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I'm going to take a look at this in a series of questions and answers, because there's a potential this kind of a text can provoke questions for some people. So hopefully I'll hit on maybe a question that this might provoke in you, and we'll consider some answers. First of all, it says they spoke with other tongues. What are tongues? What is it? Well, the word translated in verse 4, tongues, remember this was written originally in Greek, and the Greek word there, glossa, means an unknown tongue. That is, it's to speak in a language unknown to the person doing the speaking. Speaking in tongues, or speaking in a language unknown to the person doing the speaking, is mentioned several times in the Bible. Here is the first mention of it being exercised, when the Holy Spirit came upon the early believers. They begin to speak in a language that they don't know. Now that word tongue, we go, well, I spoke in a tongue, that's kind of weird, and that maybe throws some people. Perhaps today it might not seem so weird if we just use the actual word that it means, an unknown language. They spoke in an other tongue, an unknown language to them. How many received this? Well, what's it say? Look at verse 4. And those who were really spiritual and went to church every Sunday. Did your Bible say that? Some people think that. Oh, this is for like the really spiritual people, and you got to really have it together. No. And they were how many? All filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Now that means not just the 12 apostles. Yes, Judas has been replaced at this point. Matthias is part of the others. But it's all 120. For if you look back at verse 15 of verse 1, it tells us that there are about 120 who were among the disciples at that point. So all of them, not just the apostles, not just the super spiritual ones, received this gifting of speaking in a language that they didn't know. Well, are tongues human language? Well, to answer that, they can be, but not necessarily be human language. They can also be what Scripture refers to as heavenly language, tongues of angels. It's as Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians. He begins this chapter on the love chapter, how love is the best gift and all. But he begins it by saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And he goes into that awesome passage about what love really is about and how we should seek to have love as the primary thing. But he threw an interesting thing in there for us when he mentioned the fact that you can speak with the tongues of men and you can speak with the tongues of angels. So there are both. And you know, it makes, well, have you ever heard some languages? You ever been like at Disneyland or somewhere and somebody starts speaking language and you go, is that a language? You ever heard somebody speak a language, you're like, because most our language, we're used to it in our form with a certain pace and meter and certain sounds and all. And we can hear some other language, you go, I don't understand that, but I can see where that might be a language. But there are some languages, frankly, you listen and you're like, huh? How can that be a language? Of course, I remember when our son Tim visited England, he came back and said, that might be English, but I sure don't understand a lot of it. But there are languages, I know, like I remember seeing a movie one time about a certain tribe in Africa, and they were talking, it was like, hello, the clicking, I'm like, huh? But there were languages still. And so there are languages of earth, but there also apparently are languages that are spoken in heaven. Angels, heavenly languages. So it could be either one. Well, having said all that, why? If I even have tongues, what's the point of the gift? What is the purpose of tongues? In explaining the gift of speaking in this unknown language, in an unknown language, speaking in tongues, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, take your hair, Aaron's helped me out. By the way, before I read this, let me mention, 1 Corinthians 14, 12 through 14, Paul's dealing with a lot of the spiritual gifts. In particular, 1 Corinthians 14, I won't have time to go through all of it this morning, but he really addresses a lot about this gift. I encourage you to read it later. It might answer some questions if I don't hit on your question today. But in there he said, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So one of the first things when it talks about the purpose of tongues is addressed here, and that is this. Tongues are speaking in a language unknown to the person, but they're always in the form of being to God. The Spirit is enabling your spirit, if you will, to speak to God. So tongues are always something that's going to be directed to God. In a moment, we'll probably talk a little bit more about the idea of interpretation of tongues. But when there is an interpretation of tongues, it will never be, "Thus saith the Lord." An interpretation of tongues will never be, we hear somebody speak in an unknown language and all of a sudden someone says, "The Lord says, you better repent," or something like that. Tongues are always to God. All the other gifts are from God to us, but tongues are always the Spirit moving us to speak to God. It's like in verse 11 here, in this case, what's it say in verse 11? "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So in this case, they were glorifying God. They were speaking of the wonderful works of God. They were praising Him. They were thanking Him. They were praising that way. But tongues will always be directed towards God. Those who spoke the language declare that to be true here. We hear what they're saying, and they are speaking of the wonderful things of God, the works of God, the deeds of God. So it's not that way. It's not like it's a message from God. It's two. Now let me add this right here. Because some people say this, and I want you to be able to catch them on it so that you can stop the discussion right there if you need to. But let me just mention this. There are some people that say tongues are given that the gospel might be preached to people in a tongue they would understand. That's a missionary or someone might go out somewhere, and in this case, there are all these guys here with other languages. And so these tongues are given so the gospel could be declared to these other people who speak other languages. Not true. Tongues were not given to preach the gospel. It tells us right here in our text why it was given. It says they're declaring the wonderful works of God. Now, when all the people came running to hear what the sound was, in verse 14, Peter begins to give that first gospel message. The tongues were preceding that, and they heard it. Oh, hey, this is about God. Then Peter says, "Now let me tell you," and he begins to preach to them. But the message, when it came to preaching the gospel, was spoken by one person in a language that was understood, namely Greek, to all that was the language of the day, to all the people that were there. So here, the tongues are given to glorify God, to speak about God, to speak to God. And that's always the case. They're not given to preach the gospel to people. They're given to be directed towards God. Tongues are always to God. Secondly, we read we read verse 2 a moment ago, verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 14. "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So the gift of prophecy is given to people, to be given to people. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." To edify means to build up. And so the gift of prophecy builds up the church as God speaks to the church. But tongues builds up the believer. As the believer's spirit, now in conjunction or prompting of leading of the Holy Spirit, directs the believer towards God, to praise God, to look to God. And so there's somehow the supernaturally building up of the believer in this. And so, first of all, the purpose is towards God, to projected toward God, and has that other purpose of it builds up the believer. It strengthens the believer as the believer exercises this gift. As a side note, in 1 Corinthians 14, I won't read all right now, but it tells us in verses 21 and 22 that tongues are also a sign, if you will, to unbelievers. So how did this other language, this glossa, occur? How did this come about? What does it say? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Having said that, I want to make sure we understand something here, because for some of you, this is all new, or you're thinking, this is weird, I'm out of here. But please just consider this, first of all. Notice this. The Holy Spirit does not take over a person and make them robots. It doesn't say here that, and Peter began to move like a robot. No, it's not like that. But some people are afraid of that. Oh man, Holy Spirit's going to come into my life, and he's going to turn me into like this totally weird person, and I'll be like a robot, I'll be flopping around on the floor, I'll be quivering, you know, weird. And you know, you might sit there going like, this is weird, I don't want any part of it. Just hang in there. It is not that the Holy Spirit comes upon someone and then we somehow lose control. We have no control or something. As Paul is clarifying things in that 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about the gift of prophecy and other things, tongues, all through there. He even says this. He says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So even as the Holy Spirit is gifting us and using us, it's in partnership with us. We are available for him to work in us or through us as he chooses. But as that work begins and is going on in us, we still need to be in partnership with him. We don't lose who we are. We don't lose control of ourselves. The spirit of the prophets are still subject to the prophets. So in a sense, it does mean that we bypass the intellect in this. Oh, there it is. See, it's going to be weird. You're going to bypass my brain. Now, think what's being said here. If this gifting is to speak in a language unknown to the person, if it's unknown to me, then can you see how probably it's not going to be drawing from my intellect? Because I don't know it. I don't know that language. And so to bypass the intellect, it means that. Let me explain, and just to remind us. We are more than a body, thank God. This is a tent that we live in. The real us lives inside here, but this is the tent we live in. It's not to have mastery over us. It's important, useful, but it doesn't want to have mastery over us. Now, here's the shocker. We're also more than our brain, at least we're supposed to be. Just like our body, we have a brain, awesome tool designed by God to do all the things, the thinking and all that goes on in it. But I'm also more than my brain. I'm a soul. I'm a spirit. The real me lives inside those and utilizes those things. But the real me, the part that's going to, that moves on, that's the spirit, the soul, whatever we're going to attach to it. And so there's times when the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with my spirit, will use the body, doesn't use the brain in terms of anything I already know, some knowledge I already have, but instead he'll use these things to speak whatever he'd want to speak. He'll to give that glory to God or whatever it might be. But see, that's the idea here when we talk about it, bypassing our intellect. It just means it's at a deeper level. Our spirits and his spirit are working as partners. It's kind of like in chapter 14 still of 1 Corinthians. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, in an unknown language, my spirit prays, my spirit's praying. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying, but I know I'm doing it. God's doing it in conjunction with my spirit, Holy Spirit, my spirit, directing prayer to God. But my understanding doesn't know what's going on. What's the conclusion then? Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with understanding. I'll do both. We say prayers, we understand, we're saying, we're directing it. There's other times, though, the Spirit nudges my spirit, and off we go. He says there's a place for both. So that's how this whole thing kind of works. Now, remember, that being the case, that this is a sort of partnership with God the Holy Spirit coming upon us and working with us. We're available. He now works through us in some way. Keep in mind this. The Holy Spirit is working with people with different personalities. Think about what I just said then. He uses us as instruments, but we're who we are. And he works with people with different personalities. What am I saying? When you see emotionalism, that's the person's personality you're seeing. Look how they're acting so weird. See, I don't want this. I'm not want to be used by God like that because look what God's doing. Most of the time when you see something like that going on, it's their personality. It's the instrument you're seeing. It's the personality you're seeing. But don't let that cause you to throw the baby out of the bathwater. Just because they happen to be reacting a certain way. Don't let that cause you to mix up what's going on there. Don't blame the Holy Spirit just because someone acts weird under the power of the Holy Spirit. See how weird they're acting? I don't want it. That's them. That doesn't mean that's going to be you. God works with our personalities. You don't have to be afraid that the Holy Spirit is going to take us over and we have no control. Next question. You're being good students. Hang in there. Are there abuses of this gift? You better believe it. Matter of fact, I dare say, for some of you, that's why you don't want anything to do with it. Because you grew up in a church where there are abuses under the name of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, under this gift of tongues. That it was misused or misdefined, and you saw a weird thing, and you said, I ain't going near it. Or again, you've seen things done that were weird in terms of people flopping around like a fish or something. Oh, I don't want anything like that. See, they're going to do a lobotomy on me or something. We get all these impressions and so. And because of that, you may have seen abuses, so unfortunately, again, it causes us to be close to all. But that's such a shame. Yes, there are abuses of this gift. Matter of fact, that's why Paul is addressing it in 1 Corinthians 14. The Corinthian church, the church in the city of Corinth there in Greece, had a lot of problems. They were doing communion all wrong, so he wrote and had to straighten out communion. There was division. He even says, are you not carnal? You're just being fleshly. He had to address a lot of problems. In a way, we're kind of glad he had to because it helped straighten out a lot of things for us, gave us some good instruction. And one thing that they were doing is they were abusing this gift of tongues. There's all this confusion going on, everybody talking at once. There were some problems there. So he writes to explain the proper place and use of tongues. If this gift were not to be used, why would God move Paul to write about its proper use? But indeed, we are to be open to it. But you'll notice, there were all these problems with it, and so what does God move Paul to say? He doesn't say, stop it. He says what? Fix it. Don't stop it, but fix it. Do it right. And that's the idea in this. When there are abuses, straighten it out. Again, don't throw the whole thing out because of that. We all know that there are abuses in many things, even scriptural things, within the church. We know that. Take something like faith. We know there are those people who would take faith which is proper and called on by God. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. And it's by faith, by grace through faith, we're saved. Faith is such an important ingredient. But some people take faith and they try to make it, you know, they do the name it and claim it thing. And all of a sudden faith becomes like this credit card that they can make God dance to their tune or something. And I can claim it. By faith I claim it and God's got to do it. That's a misuse of it. But that doesn't mean we aren't to have faith. Because I said, without faith it's impossible to please God. So avoid the misuse, but don't stay away from it in its proper use. Faith is an awesome part of our relationship with God, isn't it? Same thing for this gift, including this gift of tongues, all the gift, but including tongues. Don't stay away from it, just do it right. Just have it in the place God designed, because it is meant to, and it is a blessing for us. Are there different aspects or workings of tongues? Yes. First of all, there is the exercising of this gift of tongues in a public worship setting. Now, when that happens, the Bible teaches that there is to be an interpretation. Let me put up a couple of scriptures. Paul says, again, he's straightening out what was going on, because they were just all talking at once. There's confusion. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. It's been well said, and just to remind you, that the Holy Spirit does not interrupt himself. And right now the Holy Spirit is teaching us through his word. That's why we at Calvary Chapel, we don't speak out in tongues during this portion. At afterglows, while we're waiting on him, if God chooses to move that way, awesome. We want all God would have. But just be clear about it. Why don't you guys do that? Because right now, he's using his word to teach us about this. But notice what he says. But if in those settings where it's proper, where God is doing that work in afterglow or some setting like that, he says, don't be all talking at once, because that's part of that mission. You hear people going off and like, whoa, I'm out of here. This is weird. It says, let there be maybe two, maybe three of you. And if you do, make sure somebody interprets. That means someone's going to stand up and say, okay, and they're going to say what was said. But if there's no interpreter, then don't you be doing it. Now, sometimes in an afterglow setting, someone will speak up like that in tongue. It's my privilege and calling to say, okay, now, Lord, we wait on you for the interpretation. And then as interpretation is given, we bear witness, we sense like, yeah, that's it. And again, it'll be a certain nature to it. It'll be something directed towards God. But it's my place to say that. Now, sometimes there is no interpretation. That doesn't mean that wasn't a word from God, a tongue. Because sometimes people are afraid. They're reluctant. They feel like I have it, but I don't know if I should say anything. And there are times people come to me afterwards and go, you know, I felt like I had that, but I was kind of embarrassed. And I understand. So you never really know. But if it's not happening, then it's our part to say, you know, okay, let's move on. If there's no interpreter, then just let it be between you and God. He doesn't say stop it. Just it has to be done in a certain way. Because God is not, well, we're going to look at that in just a moment. Matter of fact, as he gets to the end of this section, he talks about tongues and prophecy and all. At the end, he says, here's the deal. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So when this is going on, there should be that work of, wow, you know, there'll be peace, there'll be a sense of God being exalted, or whatever's going on in that situation. But there won't be. This is weird. God is not the author of confusion in the body and in the life. He doesn't give this to get you all confused and weirded out. No, I don't understand anything. That's not the idea. There'll be fruit. There'll be edifying of the believer. There'll be peace. That's the goal. And that's the way he's saying to do all this. We must scoot along. If an interpretation, by the way, is given when someone in a proper setting speaks out in a tongue, and someone gives an interpretation, let me just add this in case you may wonder. If you're ever around when someone speaks out another language they don't know, but also they speak in this other language, and then the pastor says, well, Lord, we wait on you for, and then someone gives an interpretation. Ever been there when someone speaks in a tongue and it's like X amount of length of time, and then the interpretation comes along and they go, burr, and they go like, they say like two things, you go, wait a minute, that guy talked for like 30 seconds, and he just talked like 2 seconds. How's that interpretation? Because it's not a translation. It's an interpretation, and there's a difference. This is the gist of what was just said. This is what it was about. It's not a translation, so that would have to be word for word. Just in case you ever wondered about that. Okay, so there's that proper use in a public worship setting under certain guidelines. But there's also a really cool thing here. A second use of the gift of tongues is in our personal prayer time. That's often called or known as a prayer language. Same gift, same idea, but it's exercised in our personal devotional time, our prayer time. Now, in that setting, first of all, when it's just you and God, you don't call for an interpretation. When you're praying in an unknown tongue to God, He moves upon your heart and also you begin to pray in language you don't know, but you're praying to God. You don't stop and say, okay, now, Dale, interpret for yourself. You know, you don't need interpreter. It's just you and God, and He knows what you're saying. So you just go with it. Clear about that part of it. But it's a beautiful aspect of this gift. And as we saw, it builds up the believer. There's something about this movement of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. When he begins to exercise this gift, it builds up the believer. There's something awesome going on there. Now, as I said, it'll always be to God. It might be to glorify God. It can be, especially in our personal prayer times, it can be intercessory in nature. A lot of times we don't know how to pray. Lord, I don't know how to intercede. And you might give this gift to pray, and you might be actually interceding. But it's always, as we saw earlier, it's always to God. And whatever the actual subject is that's going on there. Glorifying God, interceding, but it's to God. If you talk to anybody who has received this gift, been open to it and received it, my experience is time and again, they'll tell you what a blessing it is for their spiritual lives and for their personal prayer times. It's my understanding for you ladies that were at the women's retreat last weekend that you guys actually gave a little bit of time at the end there where some of the women shared what this gifting meant to them and how it blessed them. And I heard there were a lot of cool things shared. And that's always the case. It's to edify and build up, and you hear great reports of all this. Well, that leads us to our last question, and probably maybe it might be the one that's on maybe a number of your hearts, and that is this. Pastor, why did you take up the whole morning to do this? Pastor, you could have talked about something a whole lot less threatening, a lot more user-friendly. You know, we could have just been all happy. And why go there? You're just going to get people upset and they're going to be confused. You know, why have I dedicated an entire message to this? Well, I am not like the Apostle Paul in many, many ways. Some ways I probably am. He said he struggled, and we all struggle. But I am like Apostle Paul in this one. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want any of us to miss out on everything God has for us. So yes, it seems kind of strange. See, we all want God in a box sometimes. We want Him comfortable. I want to be able to understand what He does, why He does it, how He's doing it. In a sense, we kind of want Him to run it by us so we can approve. Okay, I'll agree. That's a good way to go, God. I'll go with that one. Oh no, that one's weird. I'm not going that way. God's bigger than all that. Thank God. Is it really so strange that the God who made the brain and the mouth and everything else can cause us to speak a language we don't know? If your God can't do that, then your God's too small. And God can do that. And Paul says, I just don't want you to be ignorant of all God has for you. And that's my prayer for all of us. I don't want to see any of us come short of all God would have for us. Are there abuses? Yes. But don't miss out on the blessing and the good and the proper place of it just because others do weird things. There were problems in the church. Whoops. There were problems in the church at Corinth. Too many people were speaking in tongues at once. There was confusion amongst them. Again, Paul didn't say stop. He said fix it. He said do it. But here are the guidelines on its proper use. But he didn't want to see them come short, and I don't want us either. Instead, really, he said just the opposite. What's he say here? I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. He's saying prophecy is greater in that when spoken in a group setting, of course, as it was said, that blesses everybody, builds up everybody. Whereas tongues edifies the person. So he says, body-wise, he says, I wish, great if you all prophesied. But I do wish you all spoke with tongues. Now that provokes an interesting question. If it were not possible for all to, would he say that he wished they did? Just something about it. It's a gift meant to bless every believer. Does he love this person more than, I'm going to give you something that's going to bless, edify you, but I'm not going to do that for you? I mean, to think about Paul. Paul would have said this. He said, I wish you all did. I wish you all did. Later on, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. But then there's that guideline, let all things be done decently in order. Why have I done all this? Because I don't want to be in the category of those who would do just that. They would forbid you to speak with tongue. Stay away from it. It's weird. But Scripture warns us, do not forbid to speak with tongues. And so that's why we looked at that this morning. Basically, as Paul would say, don't stop if there's problems. Fix it. But don't miss out on all God would have. Well, why go over all this? You've been good students today. We've covered a lot of ground, take a lot of time, been some challenging stuff to consider. But why do this? Because I want to encourage all of us just to be open and hungry for all God has for us. If this provokes some hunger on your part, some discussion, some seeking, some prayer, some openness, then that was the goal. Never settle for less than all God has. And remember always, we have a faithful, awesome God. I can invite our worship team up to wrap us up. If you need a prayer this morning, there'll be prayer partners in the far left-hand corner of the room back there. During this time, if you'd like to come up to the altar, if no one's going to bug you up here, if it's meaningful for you to come up front, something maybe you want to just lay at the altar, something you want to thank God for, if you want prayer up front and it's meaningful, feel free to come up and do that. Again, no one will bug you about it. But for all of us, let's just press on. Press on in all that God has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift all this to you, and I pray you'll clear any confusion. And indeed, Lord, there would just be a real sense of you speaking to all our hearts and helping us to be open to all you'd have, Lord, all you'd have. You love us, and from you it's good. So we want to be open. So now, Lord, keep having your way in our lives and in this fellowship. And again, thank you for how very faithful you are in everything we go through. You are our rock. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for myself and each one, Lord. Make that which we've sung a reality in our lives, Lord. Take these lives and have your way, Lord. Lord, if there are any wandering from God right now, draw back by your love. Let this be a day of coming home. Speak to hearts, if that's the case. And Lord, knowing that we all go through trials and tribulations, and we're all, there's so many things going on, Lord, together, we just lift ourselves to you, and we thank you for that refuge you are, that strength you are, so always faithful to us, and that you have begun a good work, you're going to complete it. So many promises, so just so awesome, Lord, that we can cast all these cares on you, because you care for us. And so for everybody here, Lord, have your way. As we head out, Lord, speak to us about what we've heard today. Speak to us about your love, your plans, your purposes. Find in us, Lord, make in us vessels. The world needs to know. The world needs to see. Make us vessels, not of perfection like we've arrived or something, but Lord, of your mercy and your grace and your love, your sufficiency, your healing, your hope, all that we have found, Lord. So Lord, be glorified through it all, we pray, and how we thank you in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Well, as you head out, may the grace of the Lord be with you in peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless you as you pursue love, as you desire spiritual gifts, and as you receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you. Amen. Let's close in song.